by way of any social media outlet. Glory to God. We say good morning to you. Glory to God. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I bet you if I would have said roll tide, y'all would have went up in the air. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, we thought we was going to be saying war eagle this morning, but the eagle flew, the eagle drooped, the tide rolled, and they won. Somebody say amen. We bless God that they'll represent the state this weekend. Somebody say amen. We pray God victory. We pray God's victory upon them, glory to God, that they may win for the state, bring the state the SEC title, because we'd like for the state to be represented well. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. We know whose side he's on. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Musicians, you may be dismissed. Amen. I think I'm going to need a seat to sit down in this morning. Amen. Seat to sit down in. I think I maybe have a couple more weeks of sitting. I saw myself on Instagram this past week. In the way that I was sitting, I was embarrassed. Somebody say amen. So I'm going to try to do a better job today. I'm not going to slouch. You know how it is when you come from that. Somebody say amen. I remember one of those teachers that I used to have years ago used to tell us to always sit up erect. Erect. I flunked that test. Somebody say amen. Because slouching is comfortable. Somebody say amen. Sometimes that's what we want to do. Somebody say amen. Well, last week we ended our teachings concerning, or the kingdom principle concerning investing. Somebody say investing. To invest. Somebody say amen. Or God investing in us so that we can invest in others. Somebody say amen again. And I hope you got something out of that. I hope you discovered something about yourself from that series of teaching. I hope you learned something about value that God placed in you. Somebody say amen. I hope you did. Did you? Yeah. Amen. And I hope the Lord spoke to you concerning yourself, your value, during that time of ministering the word. Glory to God. God had to fill in some blanks for us so that everybody could be on the same page. So we bless God for all the blanks, the gaps that he filled in for us. Amen. I heard the Lord speak to me as it relates to value that he's placed within me. He says that he's placed a lot of value within me, glory to God, so that I can place within the church by way of teaching. So I'm endeavoring diligently to do that. Somebody say amen. Whatever he tells me, I'm going to tell you. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. I believe in the iPads, and I use my iPads and my iPhone, et cetera, et cetera. But I've been in the presence of too many preachers. When they got up preached, the iPad didn't work. The internet might not have been up. Somebody say amen. I was in the presence of one preacher. He got up and lost everything. So I rely on the tablet. Amen. I still write longhand. As I write, glory to God, I retain. As I write, I have something that I can look to just in case the Lord would have me to look to the manuscript to share some things from it to you. Somebody say amen. So we bless God for technology. We bless God for humanity in this way that we can still use some of the valuable pieces of ourselves, parts of ourselves, to do what we need to do in order to sustain our ministry. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. But Jesus spoke to me the other day. I didn't even know he was speaking concerning another series. I just heard him say something to me, and I just, received it and then sort of brushed it off about this. By yesterday, I began, yesterday, I began to realize, okay, this is something that he wants me to teach. And this morning I was, and I get up every morning, but this morning I was sort of wrestling between a couple of messages. And then the Lord made it clear to me that he wants me to share something with his church. I might say amen. I told you last week, I hate to say what I'm going to preach the next Sunday, because sometimes the Lord will change it up. Say, he changes it up. And I want to always be in his will. I want to always do what he desires me to do. So he changed it up. And I'm ready to share what thus said Kim. Somebody say amen. Today I want to start a new series of teaching. Somebody say series. Are y'all all right with series? Amen. I want to start a new series of teachings entitled Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Jesus wants his church build or establish in, somebody say in truth and love. Somebody say Jesus. I think they put a sign up on that board not long ago about cell phones, putting them on silent. Somebody say amen. I think I read that when I first came in. I was looked up then, I was shocked to see that. So I immediately put mine on silent so that I won't, my phone won't distract you. Somebody say amen, because I'm looking out for you. Somebody say amen, amen. Again, I didn't, because I don't know how. she said how to put my iPad on silent. And the truth is, I don't know how to put it on silent. Somebody say amen. So it's dinging. I guess somebody's messaging me this morning, and it's probably not anybody that know me, because anybody who really knows me knows that I'm in the pulpit at this time. Somebody say amen. Amen. So again, we want to start a series of teaching entitled Jesus. Say Jesus. Jesus wants his church. Say his church. His church build or establish in truth and love. Say in truth and in love. Let's start today by defining a couple of words. We'll define the word build and the word establish so that we can be on the same page as it relates to those words. Somebody say amen. Number one, the term build is defined as form. Let's say form or accumulated steadily, equaling the build-up. Say formed or accumulated steadily, equaling build-up. So we can say that Jesus wants his church formed or build-up in truth and love. Somebody say amen. The word build also is defined as develop and grow. Somebody say develop and grow. Another word for both of those words will be will be mature or matured. Somebody say mature or matured. So God wants his church to be matured in, or Jesus wants his church to be matured in truth and in love. Somebody say amen. The word accumulate carries the same connotation as growing as well, or building up, or getting more, or giving more, if you will. Somebody say amen. The term established is defined as to be brought about or set up or accepted, especially long established. Say long established. In the long run, Jesus wants his church to be, I thought about that commercial, in the long run, it's long Louis, you hear? Somebody say amen. So in the long run, somebody say in the long run, Jesus desires his church to be established, build, somebody say amen, in truth and love, amen. A couple of words, two or three words for the word established. One is deep-rooted. Somebody say deep or deeply rooted. Say deeply rooted. Y'all awake today? Y'all talk back, I won't be long. Yeah. If you don't talk back, it might be long. It might take a little while getting this lesson out here. Somebody say amen. Another word for established is to be deeply seated. Say deeply seated. Somebody say deeply seated. And another word is entrenched. Somebody say entrenched. Somebody say entrenched. And lastly, there's a word called settled. Say settled. Which means the same as established. Somebody say amen. So at the end of the day, God wants his church built, established, deep-rooted, deeply seated, entrenched, settled in what? Truth and love. Somebody say truth and love. Somebody say truth and love. Let's first look at the fact that the church belonged to Jesus. Let's look at the fact that the church belonged to Jesus. Now, if you're in Christ, this is not us as church. If we're in Christ, the church don't belong to any particular denomination. if we're in Christ, the church doesn't belong to any particular personality. Unless it's Jesus. Somebody say amen. But in Christ, the church belongs to Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, the one who died, who paid the price to possess the church. Somebody say amen. So the first thing we need to establish, and we're going to learn a lot of things concerning Jesus Christ being in charge and how we're supposed to follow his mandates, his commands, his instructions, et cetera, and as it relates to the local body, in most cases, he sends his instructions through the set man, set woman, or the fivefold ministry gifting that he has set in place in the house. Somebody say amen. I always like to make this statement. I'm not saying that he don't speak to you, because I understand that we're in personal relationship with. I understand that he's speaking to us on a regular basis. Somebody say amen. But as it relates to the collective body, he has an order. Somebody say order. Somebody say order. He, Christ, is the shepherd. Say shepherd. And he has in place what we often call from the Old Testament reference, under shepherds. Say under shepherds. Well, we're shepherds. That's under the true shepherd, Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. And he speaks flow through us. And we're supposed to lead you as he lead us. Somebody say amen. But here's the caveat. Oftentimes, we don't allow him, the leaders, to lead him. Oftentimes, we don't do what he tells us to do, which oftentimes get the church on. Be loyal to the church. Somebody say church. But oftentimes, we take possession of the church. And when we take possession of the church, sometimes we lock Christ out. Somebody say amen. I don't know if you ever read Revelation chapter 3 or not, but Jesus was knocking at the door of his own church. He said, behold, I know we use this passage for the invitation to Christ, but no, Jesus was talking to the church. The church at whatever church he was speaking to at that point, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus was knocking at the door of his own church. I want to come in. Y'all are keeping me out. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And he says something else. Put Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 up there. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. That was not a part of my notes, but I hear the Holy Spirit saying, Revelation 3, 20. And I was going to quote it, but he says, behold, he said, I'm outside that door. He said, I stand at the what? He says, if anyone hears my voice and do what? I will do what? And dine with him, and he what? So the onus is up on the church to open the door. He's not kicking in nothing. Even though it's his church. You know, if it was my house, I went to my house and the door was locked, and somebody wouldn't let me in, I might just raise a foot. You don't know me very well. I might do something else, but I might just raise a foot and kick it in. Because I want to know what's going on in my house. Somebody say amen. But Jesus don't see it that way. He's a gentleman. You need to be sure you let him in. You need to be sure that you're dining with him. One translation says sup. Somebody say sup. We need to make sure we're dining with him, which denotes relationship, which denotes communion. Somebody say amen. Which denotes we allow him, the Lord, lead, etc. Somebody say amen. So oftentimes we don't allow Jesus to operate in his church the way that he desired to. So we need to establish in this series that he is the owner of the church. And it's our desire to do what the owner desires us to do. Amen. Because we don't want to be evicted. Somebody say amen. So first let's establish that the church belongs to whom? Can you say Jesus Christ? Christ is not Jesus. Verse 18. I'll get as far as I can with my time. Where I stop, I'll pick up the next week, which will be next week if it's the Lord's will. Listen to what Jesus said. This is after Jesus has raised the question to his disciples. Say his disciples. Disciples are what? Somebody say learners. Can you say learners? You need to remember that because I'm going to keep saying it. Somebody say learners. We're in a position or place where we're to be learning about the Christ. Somebody say the Christ. Somebody say the Christ. So Jesus has had a conversation with his disciples. He asked them, who do men say that I am? And they came up with different things that men were saying. And then Jesus asked the question, who do you say that I am? Peter said that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said to Peter, you didn't get that by flesh and blood. He said, you got that by the divine revelation. Say revelation. So he said, flesh and blood, they revealed that unto you. He said, but my Father in heaven revealed that unto you. And then he went on to make this statement in verse number 18. He says that I say to you that you are Peter. Say Peter. Say Peter. Now the word Peter there means pebble, which means a small rock. Say small rock. Which I believe Jesus is saying, Peter, you are a part of the church. Or you are part of the rock, me. Somebody say amen. He said, you are Peter, and on this rock, say this rock, what's the rock he's speaking of right there? It's the solid divine revelation which was confessed from Peter's mouth that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, and I also say to you that you, Peter, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will what? Somebody said, build my church. Whose church? Did he say my? Isn't that a personal pronoun? Denoting possession? Somebody say amen. So he called it his church. Say his church. The word church is the Greek word ekklesia. Say ekklesia, which means the call out one. Which means those of us who are born again, those of us who are believers in Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen. You need to know this. No man can come unto Jesus except God the Father draws him. Somebody say amen. So God called us out through Jesus, through the gospel. Somebody say amen. We accept it. Now we are a part of the ecclesia or the ecclesia, whichever pronunciation you use. Somebody say amen. So he says that we are his church. Am I talking to the right house? Amen. We belong to whom? Somebody said Jesus. Somebody said Jesus the Christ. Listen what he says next. He says, and the gates of hell, because you're my church, the gates of hell shall do what? Not prevail. That word gates is interesting. Say interesting. When you think about gates, you think about an entrance and an exit. Somebody say amen. He says, nothing going in hell or coming out of hell can prevail against my church. Somebody say amen. Nothing going in hell or coming out of hell can overcome, overpower, say overpower, his church. Somebody say his church. Now, he might trip you up for a little while. He might stagnate us for a little while. The devil. But he cannot win over us because we have the victory in Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen. Some of us may not recognize that we have victory until we get to heaven. Somebody say amen. But in Christ Jesus, we have victory over the enemy. Somebody say, yes, we do. Yes. Somebody say amen. And so first, Christ says that the church belongs to him. He says, my church. Somebody say, my church. Secondly, we need to understand that not only is Christ the possessor of the church, but he's also the head of the church. Somebody say, head of the church. I know sometimes, Derek, we get up as pastors and we be big-time pastors and we're saying, this is my church. And oftentimes, we might have a picture in a major place so that y'all can understand that it is our church. Somebody say amen. But here's the truth. Here's the truth. You don't see pictures of me here because I understand, and I've understood for a long time, where you see me in person, I understand that it's not my church. You see King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus is Lord. Lift up the name of Jesus because we understand who church this belongs to. And we want to be focused. Stay focused. We are Christ-like church. We're a Christ-centered church. Amen. So we want to stay focused on the fact that that is who we are. We belong to Christ. Somebody say amen. And he's what? The head. Somebody say the head. He's the chief authority in the church. Somebody say amen. And y'all have to trust that if I get it wrong, the Lord's going to straighten me out. Somebody say amen. Amen. So Jesus is the head. Say he's the head of the church. Somebody say amen. Let's prove that. Let's get some proof text on that. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 through 23. Ephesians chapter 1. Y'all all right? Y'all don't mind me taking my time, do you? All right. I might holler if I need to wake you up. Somebody say amen. And he, somebody say he. He being God the Father. Say God the Father. And he put all things under his feet. He is recognizing Jesus. Feet recognizing authority. Say authority. So he put all authority under whose feet? Somebody say Jesus' feet. I don't know if you remember this or not. When after the resurrection of Christ, over in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18, after Jesus showed himself to his disciples, one of the things that he stated to them was this: all authority, say all authority, has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Somebody say amen. So he has all authority, say all authority, even in the church. Somebody say amen. I promise you, if you start letting him in, he's going to start doing some awesome things in your life. Amen. You know, a lot of times when I come to the pulpit before it's time for me to preach, I'm listening to hear from the authority. Even though I already know in most cases what I'm going to talk about as it relates to teaching lesson or preaching lesson, I'm listening to see if he want to say anything else. I'm listening to see if there's a prophetic word. I'm listening to see if there's a healing or a deliverance that he wants to, because we've opened the door and let him in. Somebody say amen. I'm listening to see what else he might want to do that's not actually programmed, if you will. Amen. So I'll take a minute, probably sing a little bit so I can get my spirit, you know, tightened up or in tune with him so that I can hear if there's anything else. And sometimes I'll say, Lord, while I'm sitting there, or Holy Spirit, is there anything else I need to do? Or is it anything I need to do prior to the message? Amen. Because I understand that Jesus is the commander-in-chief. Somebody say amen. Of the Christian church. And I know if I'm going to be a good soldier, somebody say amen, I got to follow his commands. Amen. I don't want to be court-martialed. Somebody say amen. And he put all things, God the Father put all things under whose feet? Jesus. And gave him to be what? So he's head over all things. He's head over everything in the world. I know sometimes it don't look like it, but he's in charge. Somebody say amen. The Bible declares in Hebrews chapter 1 that he upholds, Jesus does, all things by the power of his word or the word of his power. Somebody say amen. So he gave him to be head over all things to or inclusive of the church. Somebody say amen. Verse number 23, which is what? Whose body? Somebody said Jesus' body. I'm going to shock you right now. Can I shock you? I want to tell you that you make up the rest of Jesus. Okay, let me say it again. I want to tell all of us that we make up the rest of Jesus. We are his body. Somebody say his body. He's the head, but we make up the rest of him. Somebody say make up the rest of him. Which is his body, the fullness of him. You see that? The completeness of him. Somebody say amen. Come on, got to get out the mustard and catch up. Come on. Somebody, the fullness. Somebody say the fullness. Who what? All in all. Somebody say we, my God. If my body starts fighting against my head, we're going to have some issues. I'm telling my body to do one thing from the command center, if you will. And it's doing something else. I'm telling you to turn right, it's going left. Or it just start doing some things in there. We're going to have some issues. I'm going to go to the doctor. The doctor in particular is the head doctor. Somebody say amen. Because my body ain't following my head. And that's what it should do. Somebody say amen. If we're not following the head, we have some issues. Somebody say amen. And I understand a lot of times we don't follow the head because we hadn't been taught, one, to follow the head. And a lot of times we don't know what the head desire of us. Somebody say amen. I believe God wants to change that for this house. What would Jesus do? If Jesus was in that predicament that you were in yesterday, Connie, at about noon, what would he have done? Or did you do what he would have done? Somebody say amen. If Jesus was in that predicament that I was in last evening, when Auburn had the game won, and then that boy named, what's his name? The quarterback for Alabama, Jalen Milroe, throws the ball with 40 seconds left in the game to the man that was in the end zone, and the boy caught it. What would you have done? Would you have been like Jesus? I think I acted like Jesus. Did I act like Jesus, baby? She said, What would you have done? What would Jesus have done? Jesus would have clapped. He wouldn't have cussed. He would have rejoiced with those who were having victory. Somebody say amen. So we're going to follow the commander. Say commander. We got to learn what he would do. Would he go up? Would he stand still? Or would he shrink back? Somebody say amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. But I'm children having a bad time. I mean a good time back there. Somebody say amen. Listen what Paul wrote the Ephesians chapter 1, 22 and 23 versions. He also wrote, he had heard from the Lord. He wrote this too. He says, and he, somebody say he being Jesus, is what? Head of the body. Somebody say the body. He's talking about a particular body. That particular body he's talking about is the church. Somebody say the church. He's the chief authority. Somebody say chief authority. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Somebody say preeminence. Somebody say preeminence. The word preeminence has to do with being first in rank, first in position. Can I make it simple? The top dog, the commander in chief, et cetera, et cetera. Amen. So we've established the fact, number one, that Jesus, or that we, the church of Jesus Christ, belong to him. Number two, we've established the fact that Jesus is the head of the church. Amen. And Paul says something very interesting in Galatians chapter 3, verse number 29. Give me that in the New Living Translation. Galatians 3:29. Amen. Amen. Galatians 3:29. He says, and now that you what? Who is he talking to? Somebody said the church. Somebody said the church. He says, and now that you belong to Christ, you are what? Two children of Abraham. You're children of faith. Somebody said children of faith. And you are his heirs, Abraham's heirs. And what? God's promise to Abraham belongs to me. What did he promise Abraham? When you go home, I want you to read Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to give you a homework assignment early so that you can see some of the promises that he made to Abraham. So the same promises that were on Abraham, they have shifted now to the church because we are Abraham's seed. Somebody say amen. So first, we've established the fact that the church, the born-again believers, belongs to whom? Somebody say Jesus. Don't be shy. Can you say Jesus? I'm reminded of a man who was calling on Jesus in Mark chapter 10. He got Jesus' attention, and Jesus stopped and said, now what you want me to do for you? We need to learn how to call on his name. Somebody say amen. Because you just might get his attention. And he might stop and say, what do you want me to do for you? And then what are you going to say? I want you to give me all the money in the world, Lord. The Lord asked me this week, what do you want me to do for you? I say, I want you to continue to give me wisdom so that I can lead your church aright. And secondly, Lord, you promised me wealth and riches. Wealth and riches in my house, he said. You give me wealth, riches, and honor, Lord. I need to be able to assist you in moving the church, Christian Church Ministry, to the next place that you want us to be in. So I need some of that wealth so I can do that. Is it going to be all about you if he says to you, what do you want me to do for you? Or is he going to be in your plans? Am I talking to the right house? So we've established the fact that the church, the born-again believers, belongs to Christ. Let me get one more scripture on that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. And we can stay in the New Living Translation. What did I say? 6, 19 through 20. New Living Translation. This is what he says. He said, don't you realize, he's raising the question, don't you realize that your body is the what? Who lives where? And was given to you how? For whom? By God. You do not what? You are not your own anymore. So why are you still doing everything that you want to do? Are you doing anything that Christ wants you to do? He says, what? You are not, or you, I'm quoting it in my head from the New King James Translation. He says, you do not belong to yourself. He says, a price was paid for you. Go to the next verse, verse 20. For God bought you with a high price. So you must what? Body denotes behavior, action. But can I help you today? You won't find yourself honoring God until you first change this. Be renewed in the spirit of the mind. Be renewed in the mind. Renovation, upbuilding, inserting his thought, his thinking, his ways of doing things. Somebody say amen. So we've established the fact that Christ owned the church, or God owned the church. Glory to God. That Christ owned the church. He's the head of the church. And the second thing I want to establish for a close today is what truth is, or what is truth. Somebody say, what is truth? Somebody say, what is truth? Now, I can give you a definition, but it probably won't be the definition that Jesus wants us to have. So we're going to walk through the scripture, particularly the gospel, and see what Jesus says that truth is. Somebody say amen. John chapter 17:17, I don't want you to go there. But yeah, we can go there. Jesus says that God's word, Jesus was praying to the Father before he got ready to die, be resurrected. He prayed for himself. He prayed for the disciples present, and then he prayed for the disciples future. And within his prayer, he said to the Father, let me have New King James Translation on that. He says, sanctify them. How? And then he says what truth is. He says to God the Father, your word is truth. Somebody say your word is truth. Somebody say your word is truth. So I want to move from what is truth to who is truth. What is truth to who is truth? Jesus said that God's word is truth. Who is God's word? And who was the word? The word was God. Say the word was God. That's a reference to Jesus Christ before he became Jesus. Somebody say amen. Go down to verse number 14. Verse 14, please. John 1:14. And the word became what? Somebody say flesh. God put the word in the human in a human body. And that human body was whom? And the word became flesh and did what? All that God wanted us to know about himself, know about his actions, his thoughts, his ways, he placed in Jesus. And Jesus taught it out in his ministry in the earth realm. Somebody say amen. This is the introduction to the book of John. Somebody say amen. You know, you go all the way to the end of the book of John. John writes something like, if everything that Jesus did while he was in the earth realm was put in books, that would not be enough books to retain everything that he did. Somebody say amen. But God gave us enough in Jesus through Christ to live out. Somebody say amen. He said, and the word became what? Somebody say a human being. Not a sinful human being, but a human being. Somebody say amen. Immaculate conception. Somebody say amen. And the word became flesh and did what? And we beheld what? His glory, His glory. The glory as of what? What was that glory full of? Somebody say grace and truth. Somebody say grace and truth. I think I taught you this before. Glory can be reflected. They reflect it. So God the Father reflected Himself through His Son. Amen. And in His Son, we saw that Jesus was full of what? Grace. Somebody say grace and truth. Somebody say and truth. Grace there is favor. Say favor. So Jesus was full of kind acts toward us, reflecting the Father. Somebody say reflecting the Father. God does all kind of kind acts for His children. We got to catch up with Him so that we can understand what most of those kind acts look like. Somebody say amen. So first Jesus, say Jesus. Jesus said that God's word is truth. And we've established the fact that Jesus is, I say the truth. John chapter 14, verse number 6. We'll just look at 6 and I need that in the Amplified translation. Amplified translation. Somebody say amen. Y'all all right? Jesus said to him, Thomas get a bad rap. Somebody say bad rap. He did doubt. But I sometimes put myself in people's place like Thomas. I wonder if I would have doubted. I wonder if Jesus would have had to have a personal conversation with me. Knowing me, He probably would have. Okay, amen. Got some witnesses. Somebody say amen. Jesus said to him, is that the Amplified? Yes. Jesus said to him, Thomas, I am what? And the truth. Somebody say, and the truth. Jesus says that I'm real. I'm without any falsehood. I'm without any deception. I'm accurate. You can count on me to be true. Somebody say true. I had another. Do you have another Amplified translation? Because it gave some detailed stuff. You have my phone, sweetheart? Can I have it? Here comes beauty. Here comes beauty. Somebody say amen, amen. Let me read it from the Amplified translation that I have on my phone. I told y'all I use all my electronic devices. Somebody say amen. Give me a second to find it. It might be already pulled up. Might be the last thing that I looked at. No, that's not it. I hear somebody breathing hard over there. Don't get weary. Don't get weary. I'm going to get there. Jesus said to him, I am the only way to God, and I am the real truth and the real life. Nothing is false about Jesus. Somebody said He's real. John P. Key say Jesus is real. Somebody said Jesus is real. Nothing false about Him. Say nothing false about Him. He's accurate. He's truth. We can trust Him. Somebody say amen. So we've established, one, that Jesus is what? The Word. Jesus, secondly, is truth. And the last thing we need to establish before we close today is Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Jesus said that truth, or the knowledge of the truth, is found in His word. Not only is He truth, somebody say, is He truth? But the knowledge of the truth, or the knowledge of the truth, is found in His word. Y'all all right? If you ever want to know what truth is, remember that Jesus is. And number two, let's look at Jesus' word. Somebody say amen. Go to John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. And I need the New King James Translation on that. Do I need to yell yet? Do I need to holler yet? Y'all all right? Okay. John 8, verses 31 through 32. The New King James Translation. Jesus, then Jesus said to those Jews, say Jews, Who was he talking to? Somebody said the Jewish nation. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. So some Jews had moved from unbelief to belief. They accepted that he was the Messiah, the Christ, might say, amen. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you what? Somebody said, abide in my word. Now that word abide don't mean haphazardly skip by there. That word abide don't mean hit and miss. Y'all ever heard the word stay? You know, you say, I stay over there, which means you live in that place. Somebody say, amen. Jesus said, if you stay in his word. Jesus said, if you abide in his word. Somebody say, abide in his word. He says, you are what? What makes you his disciples? Somebody say, abiding in his word. A disciple is learning. So in order for the disciple to learn about Christ Jesus, we have to abide where? But what's the flip side of that? If you don't abide in his word, you're not a learner. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody said, I want to know all about Jesus there is to know. And here's my response. Abide in his word. Not only will you know about him, but you'll know about the Father because he and the Father are one. Can I help you today? If we're trying to get by knowing Jesus without spending time with him, it's a lost cause. Because you're gonna have to believe everything that I say if you wanna abide in him through me. I miss something every now and then. Somebody say amen. So I wouldn't take a chance on me missing. I would abide in myself. Somebody say amen. So he says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you what? Abide, you are what? Somebody say, my disciples what? You're my disciples for real. That's what he's saying. You're my disciples for real. And this is what he says in the next verse. Verse number 32. And he says, you shall know what? Where's the knowledge of the truth? And abiding in the word. Who is the word? Y'all are pretty good class today, boy. He says, and you shall know what? Somebody say the truth. It's a particular truth. Truth being Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Knowing the truth, Jesus, you know God the Father. Somebody say amen. Well, Pastor, what about the rest of the scripture? You just want us to focus on Jesus? Yeah, for the time being, I do. Somebody say amen. And as a matter of fact, the scripture says in John chapter 5, search the scriptures. Talking to the Jews, in them you think you have eternal life. Jesus said, scripture testify of me. So anywhere we go in the scripture, we will find out something about Jesus. Somebody say amen. Somebody, yeah, you remember when the three Hebrew boys were in the fiery furnace. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar looked over there and said, I thought I put three in there. I see four, and one of them looked like the Son of Man. Somebody say amen. Or the Son of God. Somebody say amen. Anywhere in the scripture you look, you go all the way back to the book, to Genesis 3:15. You go all the way back to the book of Genesis, you're going to see Jesus throughout the book. So every now and then when you read the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, it's talking about Jesus. Every now and then when you read the commander of the army of the Lord, you're talking about Jesus. He throughout the book. But right now we need to learn to focus on him, his teaching, what he said, so that we can carry out his command. Somebody say amen. Be submissive, obedient to him. Somebody say amen. Because the leader of the church is whom? Somebody say Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. And if we're followers of him, we got to know where he went. Okay, I said a mouthful of it right then. If we're going to follow, how you going to follow me if you don't know where I went? I was behind him and I lost him. Somebody say, yeah, he ducked over in the corner somewhere. How you going to follow me if you don't know where I went? Or how you going to follow me if you don't know where I'm going? How you going to follow Jesus if you don't know where he went? In this life, you got to learn balance. Somebody say balance. When you almost fall, you got to use that other leg. Somebody say amen, which means you need to sit yourself down, boy. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. He says, and you shall know what? And the truth shall do what? Make you free. Liberate. Somebody say liberate me. Somebody say liberate me. I believe he's talking about two things. You read the rest of the chapter 8 and you'll see the same thing I saw, I think you will. Liberate from the bondage of sin. Say bondage of sin. And then liberate from the lies of the devil. Devil told us a whole bunch of lies. Got to help y'all. And some of us believe that stuff that he told us. Somebody say amen. So we need to be liberated from his lies. Liberated from his lies. And we're going to only be liberated from his lies by abiding in truth. Truth being Jesus. Now we add another piece of Jesus being truth. His word. Somebody say his word. Somebody say his word. Let's do what Jesus says about his sayings. Go over to Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24, and I'm out of time. I'm going to quit after this. Somebody asked me a couple of Sundays ago, what is wisdom? I told them wisdom is knowledge. And I think I said apply to right. Somebody said apply to right. You can't have wisdom without knowledge. And you can't be wise without applying that knowledge. Somebody say amen. Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says, therefore, whoever what? Somebody said, I need to hear what Jesus said. Now, you ain't got to always hear it coming out of my mouth to hear. You can read it yourself and the word speaks. Come on. You can read it yourself and the word what? Somebody say it speaks. If somebody says speak and it don't lie. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and do what? Somebody say does them. So when we hear his sayings, we got to connect doing with what he said if we're going to operate in his wisdom. Am I talking to the right house? Is this making sense to you? Okay, if I'm about to put you to sleep. I'm going to scream now so I can wake you up. Somebody say amen. I don't want to scare you. I'm just playing. Amen. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and do what does them, he says, I will liken him to what? To a wise man. Who did what? Somebody say, a shop. Somebody say, built. Somebody say, built. Somebody say, established. Somebody say, formed. Somebody say, accumulated. Somebody say, deep-seated. Somebody say, amen. Built his what? Somebody say house. Literally, that's a house. Somebody say amen. But figuratively, that's a life. Am I talking to the right house? So he says, you're wise when you build your life on his sayings. He says, he likened him to a wise man who what? On what? Somebody said, the rock. From a literal sense, that's a mass. That's a big old rock. Have you ever seen a rock so big until it just cover a vast amount of geography? Somebody say amen. And a rock that just go down, as far as you can see, just keep going down. Somebody say down. Somebody say down. That's a massive rock. But figuratively, the rock can be Jesus. Stability. Somebody say stability. You know, when you read the rest of it, when you build your life on Jesus' words, his sayings, some winds gonna blow. Somebody say winds are gonna blow. Winds denotes the adversities, challenges, hardship. But if your life is built in Jesus' words, guess what? You might sway a little bit, but you're gonna stand. Somebody say stand. Somebody say stand. Somebody say stand. So Jesus says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I liken him, I compare him to a wise man who built his house what? So if Jesus makes them kind of statements, we want to get into what he said. Because we want to be stable. Somebody say stable. Somebody say stable. Somebody say stable. And we want to be wise. Am I talking to the right house? So can you all indulge me for a while? to teach what Jesus said. I already started, but I thought I'd ask, because I talked to you about the parable before, about 6 weeks. He compared the kingdom of God to talents. Somebody said talents. Because he wanted us to know there was some value in us. He wanted us to know that he placed the value in us so that we can invest in others. Somebody say amen. And I've taught you a lot of things about what Jesus said down through the years, but I want your buy-in. Say buy-in. There he go, taking another text from Jesus. Jesus is saying, you just told me I could. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. So truth is what? Jesus and his word. Somebody say in his word. Somebody say in his word. So we're going to dive into his word. Somebody say amen. Now, I told you, the title of this series is what? Y'all got it. He's all over the place, but y'all got it. Somebody say amen. Jesus wants his church to be built or established in truth. What is truth? What else is truth? Somebody say his word. So we got a good understanding of what truth is. Somebody say amen. Next week, if it's the Lord's will, we need to look at what love is. I think some of us might be shocked to find out what love is. Somebody say what love is. Somebody say what love got to do with it? In the body of Christ, everything. But it got to be the right kind of love. Somebody say it's got to be agape. And we can feel love, but we ain't talking about no sexual love here. We're talking about agape love, unconditional love, caring, sharing love. Somebody say amen. So next week, if it's the Lord's will, we will find out what love is according to the scriptures. New Testament scriptures. Gospel. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Y'all all right? Did y'all get anything from this lesson today? Amen. Come on, let's bless God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we honor you so much for your word. It's liberating. It's truth that makes us free indeed. Lord, we receive your word today. Now, Lord, help us to do the word. It's offering time. It's offering time. I asked Jesus, was there anybody who wanted to move forward? I obey the commander. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. If you're here in the house today, you need to give or you desire to give, you can find one of those ways of giving, avenues of giving on the screen. Please follow the directions and give. Somebody say amen. If you've already given throughout the week or throughout the last week, come on, bless God for your giving. Amen. I had two of y'all. We had two of y'all to give throughout the week. Amen. Okay. Three with me. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. If you're viewing us by way of any social media outlet and you want to sow seed or give to this ministry, there are five different avenues that you can use to give to us. We appreciate you giving to this ministry in advance. You help us to continue to do the things in the earth realm that God desires us to do. So we want to call you partners. Somebody say partners. Your partners in ministry with us. Somebody say amen. And we intend to enlarge the partner base as we continue to move forward to do the things that God desires us to do, because we need partners. Somebody say partners to help us do ministry. Amen. So if you're viewing, you want to give, please choose one of those avenues and sow into this ministry. Somebody say amen. Or give it to this ministry. If you're in the house, you want to give by way of the receptacles. And I think the ushers have already been around while I was talking. If you want to give by way of the receptacles, if you haven't given, slip up your hands. One of the ushers, there was one to my right. Were you slipping up your hand? One of the ushers will come and take your tithes or an offering. I think she did right here. I might be wrong. I might be off. But I did see her do that. So maybe she was just scratching out. Somebody say amen. All hearts satisfied in giving. Amen, amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gifts. We thank you for the givers. And we ask you in Jesus' name that in due due season, that you will bless the giver according to the gift, Lord. We lift the collective tithe and offering up to you. First, we thank you for it. Secondly, we ask you to bless it like you did the two fish and the five loaves of bread, so that there will be great resources in this house to meet every need. With abundant leftovers, we honor you, we trust you, we thank you in Jesus' name. And all who agree with that prayer said, amen. Come on, let's bless God for giving. Amen. Now, at this time, we're going to open up the altar for anyone who's in need of healing or deliverance. Anyone who are in need of healing and deliverance, the altar is open for you, healing or deliverance. Lord, healing or deliverance, the altar is open to you. I need elders to come. Elders to come. Elders to come. Glory to God. Elders to come. Hallelujah. Hey, Z, you're back. Amen. If there's another, you may come. If there's another, you may come. If there's another, you may come. Amen. You're looking great, baby. You're welcome. There's another, you may come. I'm coming down in just a few minutes. There's another, you may come. There's another, you may come. Church, I want you praying for their healing, their deliverance, whichever they are in need of. Somebody say amen. Amen. Healing or deliverance. Child, you got on some pretty rings there, amen. Boy, you balling us. He said, lift up your hands to the Lord. In the name of Jesus, be healed right now. Lord, we thank you for our healing. In your son's name, amen, amen, amen. You believe? What's your confession? I am whole. Praise the Lord. Man, she got that name. Boy, amen. Amen. She's polite. She says, good morning. So I say, man, lift your hands up to the Lord. In the name of glory to God. I don't even know what you would be fearful of, if you are fearful of anything, but I hear the Lord saying to you that you are safe and secure. You're safe and secure. You're safe. And I have to assume that the safety is in him and the security is in him. I hear the Lord saying, you're safe and secure in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, be healed. We thank you we thank God for your healing in Jesus' name. What's your confession? You're healed. Amen. What's going to be your confession when the devil tells you you're not healed? I'm healed. Amen. Healing of deliverance. Healing of deliverance.
Everything that's good.
Everything that's good. Lift up your hands. He didn't receive it more. Somebody say amen. In the name of Jesus, be healed. They receive everything that's good that God the Father and God the Son wants to give you today. And Lord, we thank you that he's healed and he's received in Jesus' name. Amen. I know you know what your confession is. Amen. You taught me. Amen. 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 He cool to be 91, isn't he? Look at him. Somebody say amen. Well, come on, let's bless God for healing and deliverance. Amen. Ooh, come on, bless him like you receive it. Amen. Ooh, hey, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Y'all hot. You know how a counterpart said, y'all hot. I tell you, y'all hot. Amen, amen. Pastor Caleb, how you doing today, Pastor Caleb? We better get off the air before Council Pascal cut up, amen. Come on. What you want me to cast that chewing gum out of your mouth? You do. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me get a hug. All right. He's special, I'm telling you. You're going to believe me one day, he's special. He's going to make y'all happy. He's going to make you real happy. I see success all over. Now, you might have to guide him in some areas, but I see success all over that one, amen. And don't try to tone down his energy too much, because he needs his energy for where he's going. Somebody say amen. I wish I had some of his energy, amen. Don't try to tone it down too much. Now, you know you have to sort of channel it a little bit, but don't try to tone it down too much, because he needs that energy where he's going, amen. He might be a track star or something. Don't try to slow him down, amen. I don't know what, but he's going to be, he is successful. Say he is successful. He is successful. Jesus blessed the little children. I'm blessing that little child right there. Somebody say in Jesus' name. Can we stand together? Hallelujah. Have y'all been helped today? Have y'all been blessed today? Well, tell the Lord thank you. It's his church. Somebody say thank you, Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. Until next week, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord sanctify you. The Lord give you peace. The Lord bless you in your going out and in your coming in, both now and forevermore. The Lord prosper you in everything that you do that is good. Somebody say amen. The Lord keep you and build you up in him. In Jesus' name. And as you move throughout this week, don't forget to do two things. What? Practice and be. I love y'all. Y'all have a blessed and be. I love y'all. Y'all have a blessed, awesome rest of your week.